I look into the hills, from where does my help come? Bible students tell us that Psalm 121 is one of the Song of Ascents. From Psalm 120 to about Psalm 134, this would be one of the songs that these pilgrims or these travelers would sing as they go up to the hills of Jerusalem to the temple to worship. And they would sing songs such as these, or psalms such as these. Perhaps the psalmist is envisioning and thinking about that journey to the hills of Jerusalem and making his way there to go to the temple to worship. But perhaps he's also thinking about some mountains, some difficulties in his own life. As he makes that journey to Jerusalem and looks at those hills, he poses this question: I look unto the hills, from whence comes my help? King James wording. From where does my help come? I think all of us can relate to that passage this morning. And at many times in our lives, we may be traveling through the journey of life and we're going through some difficulties, and we look to the hills, or we look out the window, or we look just out into space, and we ask this question: I look to the hills, I'm looking outside, I'm looking everywhere, from where does my help come? How am I going to get through this? Where's the strength that I need? Who's going to come to my aid? How do I get through this difficult time? But I want you to see the psalmist's answer. It's immediate and it's emphatic. He says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." You see, as the psalmist is going through life but is posing this question and even answering it, I believe he's looking beyond the hills to the one who made the hills. And he's recognizing that his God is bigger than the hills. His God is bigger. Our God is bigger than the troubles that we face. He's looking beyond the hills, beyond his problems, to the one who created heaven and earth. Back in 2004, scientists pointed the Hubble telescope at a blank patch of sky near the Orion constellation. And the Hubble telescope stayed focused on that spot for 400 orbits over 11 days. The patch of sky they were looking at, I'm told, is no bigger than imagine a grain of sand on your fingertip, and you're holding it out as arm's length. And that's the size of the patch of sky that they're looking at through the telescope. And they're concentrating on that one little speck, if you will, in the sky through the telescope. And in that tiny patch of sky, they discovered 10,000 galaxies. Scientists estimate there are about 80 to 100 billion galaxies in the observable universe. And I bring that to your attention this morning to remind you of how big our God is. That just boggles our minds to think about a universe, the observable universe, that is vast as that. But in light of that, listen to Isaiah 40. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host." I think he's referencing the stars here. "Who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As Isaiah is contemplating the vastness and the power of God, he recognizes that God is the source of his strength. That God is all wise, that he is all powerful, that he's able to sustain us no matter what we're going through. I look unto the hills, from whence comes my help? The psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord who created all these things. Only he has the strength that I need to endure. When we face anxious times, where do we turn? The psalmist says, let's turn first and always to God, who made all things. And remember that no matter what we're going through, God is bigger. God is more powerful. Not only is he bigger than our troubles, the psalmist is able to say this because he understands God cares about our troubles. In verses 3 through 8, we find that the psalmist's confidence is built not only on the fact that God is bigger than our troubles, but that he cares. The Lord watches over you. The New International Version uses that phrase over 5 times in these 8 verses to talk about God's care for you and for me. The Lord watches over you. And I think you'll be thankful to understand this. The you isn't the generic, the all-encompassing you all, or y'all as we would say, but it's singular. The Lord watches over you. And when we're reading and studying this psalm, we do no harm to the text when we personalize it and say, the Lord watches over me. He watches over each of us. The psalmist is saying, the Lord watches over each of you. And he talks more about God's care. The God who created heaven and earth cares about you individually. And the Lord's care is constant. Notice with me verses 3 and 4. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. There was a mother who asked her husband, the father, to watch their little girl as she played out in the garden. And at first, Dad was very attentive and was watching the little child's every move. But he got distracted. And he was thinking about the construction that was going on in their backyard and got to thinking about that. And his thought process was broken only by the shriek of his wife, the mother, who shrieked from the back door and rushed out and grabbed their daughter just before she fell into this 4-foot trench that had been dug for a footing. The moral of the story is, a mom is never off duty. But what we need to understand is God is never off duty. He's never asleep, he's never daydreaming, he's never distracted, he's never inattentive. We can sleep safely because God is always awake. There was a weary Christian laying awake one night trying to hold the world together by his worrying. But then he thought of passages such as these that we're studying this morning, and he understood that what God is essentially saying is, now you go to sleep, Jim, and I'll sit up. Listen to Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. He's constantly concerned for his people. He's made our care his constant concern. Not only that, the Lord's care is close. It's close. We often talk about God as if he were a long way away. And some of us remember some great music from that great decade, the 1980s. I think that's when this song came out. It was written by Julie Gold, made famous by Bette Midler. God is watching us. You remember that? From a distance. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. And I love that song, and I love the thought that God is watching, but it's really not from a distance at all. In fact, Paul, when he's preaching to these people in Athens who had many idols, many false gods, and he's trying to tell them about the one true living God, using that idol that said to an unknown God as the object lesson, let me tell you about the one true living God. And he says it's in him that we live and move and have our being. We live in him. He is not watching from a distance. He's with us. He's here. He's all around us. And the psalmist would say in Psalm 121, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Or the Lord watches over you. He's near. As near as a shade in the heat of the sun. If you put that back into the setting of Palestine in the first century, and how hot it was in those desert-like conditions, you recognize how valuable and appreciated shade would be. He is your shade at your right hand. Notice he talks about two opposites here. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And it's not that the psalmist really believed that exposure to the moon is harmful, but he's giving contrast here. He's saying the Lord guards the pilgrim through the perils of the day and the perils in the night and everything in between. He's constantly caring for you and he's near. Whatever it is that you're worried about, know that God is close enough to help you. And he won't abandon you to face the trial alone. So the Lord's care is constant, it's close, and it's continuing. Look at verse 7 and 8 with me. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve or watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. The Lord's care continues. You see, God's commitment to his people is forever for the greater journey that we undertake, that is our journey through life. But this is where we struggle, isn't it? We're journeying through life and we encounter difficult times. And that's when we ask with the psalmist as we look to the hills, from whence comes my help? I need help, Lord. And we recognize that committing to following Jesus doesn't exempt us from the trials that some of the most godly people we know also experience difficulty. And so we grapple, we wrestle with that. How is it that we love God, we're seeking to serve him with our whole hearts, and yet we still struggle. We still experience difficulty. Just like the heathens out in the world. And how do we understand that in light of these statements where God is close and he cares for us and he'll continue to do so? Then we have to step back. and take a big look at the big picture. I believe the psalmist is looking beyond his present anxieties to eternal truths. And he understands that God is concerned with our whole lives, not just right now, but forevermore. And he's promised to keep us, to watch over us forevermore. Ben Edgerton wrote, often our first concern is that we have a comfortable life. God's first concern is that we have an eternal life. That's his primary concern. He wants something better for us than what we experience in this life. His concern is where we're going to spend an eternity. He wants us with him. God's promise to us is to keep us safe for eternal life with him, as long as we'll keep trusting and following him. And that may mean facing situations we'd rather not face. It may mean that some of the troubles we find ourselves in, we can't understand. But crucially, God is committed to being with you, keeping you, bringing you to eternal life that he's provided through the gift of his Son. He's committed to making sure we finish the journey until we finally enter into life with him. That's how much he cares. But we wrestle with it. We're looking for God, and sometimes the tears and the clouds get in the way. And we worry. Why do we worry? Perhaps we worry, we wonder deep down, is God unable to take care of us? And the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord who created heaven and earth. If he can do that, he can take care of me. Perhaps we wonder, do we really believe God is unwilling to take care of us? Does he really care for me? In my situation, in my difficulty. So over and over, the psalmist affirms, God is watching over you, not just you collectively, but you individually. He's concerned about you. But another reason why we worry is that we're trying to do things all by ourselves. We think, well, I'll handle this. We don't have the resources on our own. Do you believe that God is able to help you? Do you believe that he's willing? Or is it that you'd rather go your way and tackle life on your own terms? Psalmist is saying, that's not the way to do it. The psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I want you to imagine those hills one more time. And perhaps the psalmist looking at the very hills of Jerusalem. And he's looking again for that help from the Lord. If that psalmist was able, with the eye of faith, to look forward, he could see something on one of those hills, one of the hills of Jerusalem, that would happen several years later than when he wrote this. And what he would see is three crosses. And on the center cross, he would see the Son of God dying for the sins of the world. As you look to the hills and ask the question, from whence comes my help? Look through the eye of faith to that hill that some call Calvary and see the Son of God dying for you on the cross. It's that cross which is the absolute guarantee that God is willing to care for you. It's in looking at that cross that we have the guarantee that God is able to care for you, because 3 days later, after Jesus died and was buried, God raised him. That's the guarantee he's able. And Paul reminds us, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look beyond the hills, folks. Look to the cross. And be assured that God loves you and he cares for you and he wants you to live with him forever. I like these words. Don't lift your eyes to the hills and be fearful. Lift your eyes to the cross and be faithful. Be faithful. Look to the Lord when you don't understand. When things get difficult, look to the Lord. When you're asking God why, look to the Lord. And he'll carry you. He'll keep you. He'll save you. From whence comes your help? My help comes from the Lord. If you're ready to surrender your life and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to become a child of his, to know these promises as assurances to you yourself, if you need the prayers of the church on this day, as we continue to pray fervently for Sean and for his family, we want to pray for you too. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?